It was a big football weekend, so let's get into it. From Los Angeles, this is the Big Four Sports No Autopsy, No Foul podcast with Mark Elliott on Monday, September 9th. Here's what's happening on the sports page today. I'll recap Sunday's top NFL performances. We got the good, the bad, and the fugly, including my weekly pick'ems. I've got the Big Four Sports college rankings for this week, and these are our rankings. We talk fantasy football, and I'll have a Raiders recap for Raider Nation, too. Plus, we'll check on the progress of Shohei Ohtani's pursuit of being baseball's first 50-50 player and fan email coming up, too. That's what's up on the Big Four Sports No Autopsy, No Foul podcast, now playing on Alexa, Spotify, Amazon, Audible, and at BigFourSportsUSA.com, where you can also read the Big Four Sports page. All right, here's the good, bad, and the fugly from week one of the NFL. The good, Kansas City. Look, as a Raiders fan, this pains me to say it, but Kansas City looked really, really good against Baltimore at home. They might have a good shot at three-peating, because I thought Baltimore would have handed it to Kansas City week one. Not the case. Mahomes got it done without much help from Travis Kelce, which was most impressive. Kelce only had three catches for 34 yards. I'll tell you what, too, Xavier Worthy is going to be a problem for the NFL. Derek Carr threw three touchdown passes for New Orleans in their blowout of Carolina, but let's keep in mind it was Carolina, but still let's give Derek thumbs up on his performance. Sam Darnold wasn't spectacular in his Vikings debut. Vikings won 28-6 over the New York Giants, but I think he showed he's capable of being a QB1, at least against the Giants he did. Let's just put it that way. Dak Prescott signed a four-year, $240 million deal contract to stay with Dallas. He went 19 of 32 for 179 yards, one touchdown. Dallas won the game, beating Cleveland, but he was paid $3.5 million for the game. Is it more important that he put up bigger numbers or that Dallas won? Or bigger numbers with that Dallas win? Was that a $3.5 million performance? Depends on how important you think winning is, I guess. How about Detroit against the Rams? Went to overtime, and Detroit just played smash-mouth football and just ran down the Rams' throat. My God. Detroit's O-line was just outrageously blocking everybody on the Rams' D-line, pushed them around like granted. The Rams are like, going, okay, we played four quarters, that's enough. But, the rumor is the Rams' D-line needed tampons to plug up their vaginas after the game. All right, the bad, I'm not on board with this kickoff rule. Are you? I think it's a bad look. You know, maybe because it's new and just appears odd in the way it's executed. Nobody moves until the ball lands some freaking place. Now, if it goes in the end zone, of course, they get the ball on the 30. I think that's a little cheap as well, but it is what it is. Maybe they'll adjust it after this season. Got to see how it works out, but at this point, it's just too damn new for me. Miami Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill was arrested before the game. What is up with the Miami PD? Do you not know who the Dolphin players are, for crying out loud? They handcuffed him and arrested him for speeding and reckless driving, but they laid him out on the pavement. You've probably seen the video on this. It wasn't a good look, but I just question, as soon as you saw the guy's driver's license, how did you not know that he played for the Dolphins? I guess it was important for the Miami PD to get their PR in for the day. The fugly this week, and that was fugly too, but the real fugly were the teams who sucked hind tit, including the Raiders, Commanders, Browns, Giants, Panthers, and I'm also including Tennessee in this because they had Chicago beat. They had the Bears down, and they let Chicago get back in the game. The Bears' defense performed well. They were the top-performing defense this week. All right, my week one picks, not bad. It was a typical week one for me. Not up to my expectations. I usually hit 75 to 78% throughout the season on average, but this was a typical week one, and why I don't bet week one and week two, because I want to see how teams are performing, how their attitudes are, how they're shaping up as far as turning the ball over and penalties, which will kill a team tremendously during a game. I don't care how good they are. But I went 10-5. I could go 11-5 week one if San Francisco beats the Jets tonight. I went 3-1 with my Fantastic Four picks. So I'm just getting warmed up here, folks. Week 2's picks will be posted by noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern Time, Wednesday at BigFourSportsUSA.com. So another upset-filled weekend in college football, the biggest being Notre Dame getting punched out by Northern Illinois. Texas humbled Michigan by 19. If you saw the game, you know it could have been a hell of a lot worse than that. I mean, you know, Texas put them away in the first half and then took it easy on them as far as I'm concerned. The game of the week this week is Arizona and Kansas State, the only two ranked teams playing each other in the top 25. Keep your eye on the Wildcats. Arizona's a good football team. My top five ranked teams after week two are, and these are Big Four sports rankings, not AP, not the college. These are ours. Georgia at number one, Texas at number two, Ohio State at number three, Alabama fourth, and Notre Dame drops out of number five. Ole Miss slides into that position. You can go back to previous podcasts, the preseason podcast, where we had Georgia, Texas, Ohio State, and Alabama, 1, 2, 3, and 4. We had Notre Dame at 5, but so 4 out of 5, not bad. But it was good to see the other polls catch up by putting Texas at number 2. Week 1, fantasy football was a good one for Big Four Sports. Demons winning, 117-105. I had several players in double figures. Lamar Jackson, Kieran Williams, Jerome Ford, Stephon Diggs, and Brandon Aubrey all put up double digits for me. Top five performing quarterbacks of the week in fantasy football. Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield was number 2. Jaden Daniels, even though the Commanders lost that game, he had a good first game. Anthony Richardson of the Colts, followed by Lamar Jackson. Those are your top five. Running backs, welcome to Philadelphia. Saquon Barkley. Joe Mixon was number 2. J.K. Dobbins, Alvin Kamara, and Miami's Devon Arcane. Top five. Those were top five running backs. Wide receivers, Jaden Reed of Green Bay, Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill, Jameson Williams of Detroit, Mike Evans of Tampa Bay, your top five. Top performing tight ends, Isaiah Likely from Baltimore, Foster Moreau of New Orleans, Brock Bowers of the Vegas Raiders, Kyle Pitts of Atlanta, Jerwan Johnson. How many of you guys have those guys starting for you in fantasy football? New Orleans with Moreau and Johnson put two of the top five tight end performances week one. I don't think you can judge a hell of a lot from week one in fantasy football either, by the way. Give some things. I'm not making any changes to my roster this week. I'm going to keep the Raiders defense because I think it was more about those turnovers than how the Raiders played. And I think they'll get their defense. I think they'll perform better on the D-line. And against rushing, we'll talk about that in a second with the Raiders recap. Top defenses this week, Bears, Vikings, Cowboys, Chargers, and Saints. I wouldn't worry about the Saints. They played Carolina. Chargers defense looked really good, though. Again, it was against the Raiders offense, which, you know, I think the Raiders, we might as well just get into this right now. Since I'm a Raiders fan, I owe Raider Nation an explanation for that performance. So let's go ahead and jump into the Raiders red zone here. They got some things to clean up, and they're in a tough division. It's going to be a tough year for the Raiders. The schedule is a tough one. I'm just going to jump ahead and say we might as well count Baltimore in Baltimore. An 0-2 start for the Raiders. We got Carolina week 3, but anything can happen in any given Sunday, right? So let's hope the Raiders don't get off to an 0-3 start. But they look to be now at 1-2 as opposed to 2-1. And I don't want to count them out against Baltimore with the any given Sunday rule, but it's not looking good. Minshew, I thought, had a decent game. Now, granted, the fumble and the interception hurt. But he went 25 for 33 for 257 yards and a touchdown. So I kind of like the way that he played. He's first game as a Raider. Not bad. Jameer White, that fumble he had, really killed the Raiders' momentum in that game. I thought his fumble was bigger than anything, but he did show the 4-4 speed. He's a big back. I think he'll be okay. He re-entered the game after the fumble and played well. It was his first game as a starter, so I'm going to give him a little slack. The defense had to deal with bad field position, period, the entire game. Thanks to those turnovers. The pass defense was awesome. Herbert only had 144 yards passing. That's dynamite. That is really dynamite performance. The running game for the Chargers rolled over the Raiders. They got to improve that. They put up 135 yards rushing from J.K. Dobbins, 176 overall, and Dobbins could start for the Raiders, for crying out loud. So they got to clean that up. Like I said, Baltimore is going to be a tough game in Baltimore, but let's hope the Raiders pull a shocker out there and come back and beat Carolina. It would be nice to start the season 2-1 somehow, but it's looking 1-2 right now. All right, let's check in on Shohei Ohtani's quest to become baseball's first 50-50 man. 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases. He's at 46 and 46 right now. 46 home runs, 46 stolen bases. With 19 games to play, I'd feel better if he had 48 home runs right now. I think he'll get the stolen bases and the home runs, four more in 19 games, might be challenging right now. I mean, it's the end of the season. These guys are tired, and he's playing every game. The Dodgers host the Chicago Cubs and travel to Atlanta to play the Braves this week. All right, let's get into the chat box from Big4SportsUSA.com and handle your questions. Bobby from San Bernardino, California said, why do you call your podcast the No Foul, No Autopsy, No Foul podcast? I don't get it. Bobby, when I grew up, we were playing sports on the streets, and we had a rule that we didn't call fouls. The rule was you needed to be taken away in an ambulance and probably pronounced dead before we would call a foul. Okay, that's how we played. You know, there were a lot of broken teeth. There were a lot of, busted jaws, eye sockets, broken arms. But that's how we played the game when I was growing up as a kid. Okay, that's just how it was. So it was no foul, no autopsy, no foul. That's what the rule was, and I adopted it for this podcast. So I hope it makes sense to you now. Steve in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the Steelers made you look like a fool yesterday. Never count the Steelers out. Well, I don't consider six field goals to be a dominating performance, Steve. Justin Fields, just good enough. And they were playing the Atlanta Falcons, who, again, I know a lot of people have said the Falcons are loaded and ready for ball this week and will be a division contender. Maybe, maybe not. They didn't look like it yesterday. Jake, Sarasota, Florida. What do you think about Tom Brady's first performance as a sportscaster? I'd give him a B+. First time out, thought he did damn good. You know, yeah, I'm supposed to be a professional broadcaster, being that I've spent many years in radio. But I thought what I liked most about Tom's performance is that he gave good, concise, clear answers, easy to understand, understands the benefit of brevity. So first time out, B+. I think he's only going to get better. Good-looking guy, too, huh? Sometimes he can look a little strange, but he looked good on TV yesterday. Monica from Boise, Idaho said, I'm from Chicago, and I disagree. The White Sox should relocate. If they start winning, fans will return. Well, that's the problem, Monica. I mean, the fans aren't coming out to the games. It's really hard to rebuild a team when you're the fifth professional franchise in a city and nobody's showing up. You need money to rebuild a franchise. And nobody's showing up to see a 36-win team. This is one of the worst baseball teams I've ever seen in my life. Now, granted, you shouldn't make a decision on one bad season, but I'm just saying, doesn't it make sense to move to a city where you're not fifth deep? I mean, they go up against the Cubs, they go up against the Bulls, the Bears, especially the Bears right now. Fans are going to go rabid for this team, right? And then you got the Blackhawks. I just think Chicago might be the third largest city in the country, but there might only be room for one team in Chicago. And if they turn it around and fans return, you know, I like Crow. I've got plenty of hot sauce here. That's it for this week's edition of Big Four Sports No Autopsy, No Foul podcast. Conversation continues on X. Go to Big4SportsUSA.com to connect. Read the sports page and hit us up on the chat box, too. We like hearing from you. We'll do this again next Monday, September 16th. Game over.